Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
Listen, folks, get on board with Brighton Ford. It is still truck month at Brighton Ford, and for 46 years in a row, 46 years running, truck of the year is none other than the Ford F-150. And if you want to get in on one, great deal, blowout offer deal, you need to get to Brighton Ford, 8240 West Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan, online at brightonford.com. Give them a call at 1-800-NEW-FORD. 2022 Ford F-150, trying to move those 2022s off the lot, that means you are in luck. $297 a month with $3,500 down. You cannot beat that deal. So make it on over to Brighton Ford and get on board again in your 2022 Ford F-150. Get on board with Brighton Ford.
That is Sam Webb. He will be back in the air chair tomorrow. He is on assignment today. Also has some family stuff to take care of as well. He obviously big recruiting stuff coming up later in the week as we get to the Jaden Davis announcement coming up on Friday. We're finally getting to that announcement, which is coming up on Friday. We are efforting the King of Philly, Phil Martelli. Obviously a lot going on. I've seen pictures of the Michigan coaching staff out on the recruiting trail, out at high school basketball games down in Indiana, some other places. So they're out and about as well. And obviously, as we talked about it earlier here on the show, it's roster management season, right? It's, you know, Jet did Michigan a huge favor. If he was going to leave, he left. So obviously he's going to leave. Making that announcement, making that decision very early in the process, right? As opposed to waiting until deadline time, essentially, right? So that's a really important thing to keep in mind, right? It allows them to manage the roster a little bit better. Roster management season is totally different than it used to be in college basketball. Maybe all college sports, but obviously we're talking about college basketball right now on both the men's and women's side. As soon as your season ends, it seems like it's almost inevitable out of your, so say you have a 12-man roster in men's basketball and you have three seniors. So now you're down to nine players in your roster. It's almost guaranteed that you're going to be down to eight when you get a week from past the end of your season. There's going to be one player at least that ends in the portal. Maybe some teams will be zero, others will be three, four, five. But it seems like almost it's inevitable that as soon as your season ends, whether it's at the end of your conference tournament, at the end of the CBI, the NIT, the NCAA tournament, whenever your season ends, within a week, you're going to have a player in the portal, or so it seems. It may not be the case at every school, as I said, but it just feels that way. And you have, like, Illinois. I mean, Illinois lost Sky Clark during the season. He went to the portal, ended up at Louisville, I think, before maybe even the season ended. Or maybe right when, Louisville season ended in, like, January. But he transferred to Louisville maybe right when Illinois season ended. But then Jaden Epps is now in the transfer portal. Four-star guard in Illinois' 2022 recruiting class. He was the point guard after Sky Clark. Roster management, right? You bring in two point guards, and I think Brad Underwood probably expected the point guard position to be pretty solid for a couple years in a row. And now those guys are both in the portal. They're gone. Indiana has Tamar Bates in the transfer portal. He was a sophomore guard. He was the number 30 player in the country in 2021. He was expected to have a bigger role, according to a lot of people out of Bloomington. He was expected to take a much bigger role or have a much bigger role this coming season. Roster management. I could understand why coaches are retiring or moving on and doing different things. This is a headache. Roster management has always been difficult. There's always been transfers. But with NIL and everything else, we know that it's easier for transfers to happen now. There's more. I say there's more tampering because it's easier. I don't think, maybe it's not more. Maybe it's just easier. Because this is what we talked about with, in the past. Remember, we talked about it here in the show just a few weeks ago when we were out at UTEC. Because we were at UTEC a few years ago and Hutch was with us. And we see the player for Florida hit the home run against Minnesota, who she was on their team just a few months earlier. She was on their team in like November. And then she was playing for the other team in February or March. Well, it was March. It was March Madness. It's happened in all sport, in most sports. It's just more of it now. And now you, as soon as the season ends, so you see those news, and then you see schools like basically, are you staying or are you going? And everybody has those questions. So the earlier you get them, the better. The earlier Michigan finds out about Hunter, the better. If you have a player that's really going through an elongated process, like Kobe might, you understand it may take a little longer. But Or maybe they get the answer you want right away, in which case things do go a little bit quicker. But Coleman Hawkins, for example, at Illinois, he's declared for the draft but retains his eligibility. He's made the decision that, but he can still come back, right? So roster management for Coleman Hawkins for Illinois, Epps is gone, Sky Clark is gone, Coleman Hawkins is in limbo land. Now, I don't have any sympathy for Brett Underwood because I don't like him very much. I think he's a little bit of a loose cannon there on the sideline, and I don't think he's a very good coach. I think he's an okay coach. He actually did okay at Oklahoma State. I'm trying to figure out what happened at Illinois, why he can't succeed at Illinois the way he seemed to be doing better than that when he was at Okie State, but neither here nor there. I'm just using them as an example because they happen to have a couple players in the news recently as far as entering the portal or entering the draft. And a lot of what we're going to talk about with the King of Philly, and hopefully we'll get him back on the air with us next week or very soon, is this roster management. Maryland finds out yesterday that Jameer Young is coming back. That's very quick in the process, right? You're within a week or two of your season ending, and you're getting that information. So now you know you don't need a upper-class point guard to go find one in the portal. Roster management right now is very difficult as well because guys go in the portal, or for that matter, on the women's side, right? The ladies go in the portal right when their season ends. Well, maybe somebody else is still trying to decide what they want to do. They don't want to be in the portal quite yet. And you could have a month from now, another wave of players going in the portal. And so you went portal hunting now, right? And you're going through the portal now, and you take a player out of the portal now, and then a month from now, another player pops into the portal, and you're like, oh my goodness, that's the player we really wanted. Like, so you have to balance the timing of bringing the players in from the portal and obviously your own roster. And I'm guessing that most schools in the country, those coaches, while they're out recruiting and they're out looking at the, looking on the portal and, checking out players and in contact with the players that they're interested in recruiting as well, they're also probably on a daily basis recruiting their own players to stay. I don't have any specifics at Michigan. I'm just saying in general, right? You are probably, if you have a freshman player on your team or a sophomore player on your team that had a solid season, but maybe you didn't have a great season last year, or maybe you're losing a bunch of other parts around, or maybe that player's best friend was an upperclassman and that player's graduating, right? Like, there are any number of reasons why you could have these conversations, but you have to go back to your own guys probably more than you ever had in the past, and you have to re-recruit those guys.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free. See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
And that's just the name of the game right now. It's just a part of the game. It's not the name of the game. It's a part of the game right now. And it's why some coaches are, we've seen coaches like, I'm done. I'm out. Because it's a total added layer. Maybe even more than one layer, right? Because all the tampering that's happening when, some school's going to call somebody and say, hey, we got a whole bunch of NIL money for you. And then the next thing you know, that player's in the portal. So something really to watch out, but that's something that I've been thinking a lot about because right now, unless your name is on the men's side anyway, Dusty May, Brian Dutcher, Dan Hurley, or Jim Larrañaga, all you're focusing on right now is roster management, whether it's recruiting, maintenance, or transfers, right, or the portal, right? Those would be the big three: maintaining what you have, using the portal for what you need in the immediate for as far as more experienced players, and obviously also recruiting. And that's even for now, because there are still 2023 kids. Like the McDonald's All-American game was last night, and Bronny James is in that game. He's still uncommitted. Right, there are still players available in the current class too. But then you're looking at the 24 class. You're looking at the 25 class. You're going to high school state championship games. You're going to this, that, and the other. Roster management season is totally upon us in college basketball. And it's going to be pretty hot and heavy probably through April and maybe even into early May, because that's when you get to the end of semesters. Because that's the other part of, you know, kids coming in and out of, you know, going to the portal. If you are a freshman at Villanova, I'll just pick a random school. You're a freshman at Villanova and you are you've decided that you want to transfer out when the season's over and when the school year is over, but you want to finish your semester. You don't want anybody giving you the stink eye when you're, you know, at class or you, whatever it is. So when do you announce that you're going in the portal? When do you go in the portal? At the end of the semester, not at the end of your basketball season, which is the first wave, right? The next wave is at the end of the semester. When it's the same thing in spring football. You're going to see after spring ball, and some of it is related to spring ball, but some of it is just related to players that wanted to graduate and not let anybody know what their plans were, right? They didn't want to feel the wrath on campus, if you will, and have eyes, stares burning through their bodies. I've seen, you know, you hear stories about that where, you know, so you just, instead, you just go through it. If you're a player, you still get to work out, right? You still get, and maybe you get to learn a few things. Maybe you realize that you like it after all. Gives you one last chance to weigh your options to stay or go while you're going, waiting to finish your semester or finish to graduate. So we're going to have another wave. We're going to have the current wave of players right now in the transfer portal for men's and women's basketball. We'll see if any more pop in the next week and a half or so based on the seasons that have ended and how players are, what they're looking at, whether it's, you know, players still wavering. But the next week and a half still takes you to the early part of April. So I would say it's really the next 6 weeks, the whole window of time, but there's going to be a middle part of that 6 weeks where my guess will be fairly quiet. But as far as players going in, players coming out of the portal could be at any point in time. But players going into the portal, I think you're going to see, we've had a lot of noise right now. A lot of players have been going in because their seasons are ending. And then we're going to stay in this wave of players going in, although it's going to quiet down, I think, for a 2-3-4 week window. And then when the semesters end, whatever that next wave is going to look like, we're going to get that one in probably early May is my guess. And so roster management, just going to keep your eye on it. It's a wild thing to see. And then make sure you pay attention to what's real and not real. Miz, who do you trust and who do you not trust? Very important, right?
Yeah, very much true.
So if you saw, say, Dan Dockage say, sources say, Zach Edey is in the portal, do you believe it or do you go corroborate it?
I typically try to go corroborate.
Yeah, when it comes to Dan Dockage, I would corroborate it. And yeah. Zach Edey actually confirmed that Dan Dockage was wrong. Because Dan Dockage said, he had a tweet that said, sources say Zach Edey's in the portal, and then he basically cursed NIL in the transfer portal. Zach Edey quote tweeted and said, my sources say this is not true.
In Midwest, ope.
And I would take Zach Edey's sources over Dan Dockage's sources when it comes to Zach Edey. This actually is something that Sam was talking about in one of his rants last week about one of his competitions. And really, it wasn't what Sam was ranting about. It was what Jeremiah Davis's dad was talking about. And I'm bringing this not about that specific example, the more the bigger picture, which is
right.
When you're getting a story, you have to know who has sources to that story, right? It's not a whole lot different than the Jim Harbaugh to Michigan story. Now feels like an eternity ago. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's never going back to college football, right? That's not from sources. That's from speculation. That's from NFL people that claim to be sources, but it's more speculation, right?
Yeah.
Who are sources? Any Jim Harbaugh story, if it didn't come from basically Jim or Jack, probably aren't all that well sourced for the most part, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to trust your sources. And then sometimes it's who the person is that's putting it out there. If you put out enough, you know, bunk stories, I think people will stop listening to you. If you put out enough ridiculousness, I think people will stop listening to you. And there are many local examples of that. And I would say that Dan Dockage seems to be turning into, if not already, an example of that as well, which is a shame because he was really good at one point in time doing games on basketball. And I thought his basketball, just straight basketball analysis was really good, but I can't get through his caricature of himself to get to that point anymore.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
One other college basketball news we continue here in the Michigan Insider. Looks like we'll be talking to the King of Philly next week, hopefully on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. We'll see.
Maybe it's me, because the last time I was in on a Wednesday filling in for you, he was supposed to call up. He didn't call up. Maybe it's me.
Maybe.
Phil, I've never talked bad.
I should say, maybe
you,
it's us. You were filling in for me, so it wasn't that I was. Yeah. So maybe,
I'm going to say it's me. Phil, I've never spoken ill will about you, sir. So please, take this as a humble apology. I am nothing like any negative things you've ever heard about me.
So he is still the King of Philly. We're not going to strip him of his title. He's the King of Philly. Maybe he's in Philly. You never know.
Maybe.
Coming up in the next hour, no Steve Clark this week. Steve Clark is on the spring break, but he will be back next week. But coming up next hour, really looking forward to two conversations. We're going to open up the 9 o'clock hour talking with former Michigan hockey player Sean Richland, who played hockey at Michigan from 95 to 99, which means he won two national championships. He played with a Hobey Baker winner. Mm-hmm. And he, of course, is on the call as the color analyst in the Allentown, Pennsylvania Regional.
Yep.
So we are going to ask him about things like national championships and Hobey Bakers and winning in Pennsylvania. And let him, I know he was trying not to show any biases in the broadcast, but I can't imagine he doesn't have post observations that he can't share with us about what it was like to see. As I said, one of the coolest things that I saw or, you know, on TV or heard from the TV was during the post game celebration before it cut away was when they were blasting Mr. Brightside, which of course has turned into Michigan's stadium celebration anthem.
Yep.
And, you know, the players are doing their thing, whether they were skating with the ticket or whether they were doing at that point, you know, hugging and high fives, getting the hats and T-shirts and everything. And Mr. Brightside's playing. You can hear the Michigan fans belting it out in the background. And it was really fun in Indianapolis last year. Actually, the last two seasons, it was super fun to play it there and to, mm-hmm. you know, have it be your celebratory song. I get it. Like, I'm not dismissing that. But to do it basically on a road venue.
Mm-hmm.
is really cool. Like if Michigan goes if you're in a women's NCAA tournament and you're a 5 or a 6 or whatever it is, and you go on the road and you win, they're supposed to play your stuff because it's an NCAA event. So if you win, they play your stuff. So if you go to a venue, that would be fun. It's like, fun to do it there, but it's different in the NCAAs in the women's tournament, because in the women's tournament, you're going to be playing like Michigan did at LSU, or you're going to be playing at like Duke. Maybe at Notre Dame would have been a place to have it be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the places that it would happen, yes, it's awesome to go and win on the road. I'm not dismissing that. But I'm talking about that personal feeling we all get because we don't like Penn State.
No.
Right? And that we don't have that same ill will to a lot of schools that it could be where you are in an NCAA game. So it's probably not the best example. But being in Pennsylvania and having them blast Mr. Brightside in Allentown after beating Penn State and all those Penn State fans as soon as the goal gets, you know, is given up. That's the other thing about winning or losing a game in overtime. We talk about the natural visceral reaction of jumping up and going crazy.
Yep.
And how, you know, and that part of it. But the other part is when it's basically on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It is really sweet to watch the immediate, you jump up and go crazy goal.
Yep.
And the other fans all immediately stand up, grab their jackets, turn out, and go. And there's lines going up all the aisles as the place is emptying out.
Nothing like seeing a sea of white leave the stadium. It's almost, and honestly, like you kind of talk about Mr. Brightside, like I get that same feeling when we hear Pump It Up as well too. When you hear it at other state at other venues when Michigan is at. So like when like Michigan goes up to the Breslin Center and they play there, it's almost like.
They
You're
did.
Setting it
I,
up.
They did. I know they played that for. We were up there for the women's game, and they played "Pump It Up." And I looked at Sherry, and I looked at Grace. I'm like, they know this almost, is kind of our song now, right? Like maybe they should have done their homework.
It's like, it's almost a precursor here.
Because some things you do kind of take over, make it your own.
Yep.
And Michigan definitely did that with a couple of songs that they've kind of made their own celebratory songs.
The Michigan
so there's
difference.
That. So I'm curious, and we'll talk more about this coming up as we get into Friday and the game's Friday night. But the 2.5 million people watched Caitlin Clark's Elite Eight game. I wonder what's going to be the viewership coming up on Friday night.
Those are rookie numbers.
They say people are speculating because the highest in the last 10 years is 3 million for that time slot, for that game slot, or the Final Four for the women, 3 million viewers. It's going to crush it.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's going to crush that
absolutely.
Number.
Absolutely. Like I said, that game should be, and like I said, I'm pretty sure the NCAA are like, why couldn't we have gotten that as a national title game? But, I mean, this in itself, Friday night, 9 o'clock, I mean, I know we talked about the Watch Wednesday earlier, that 10 years ago we watched the Trey Burke shot, but Friday is going to be must-see TV for that game.
Yeah, no question about it.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, a lot of people will be watching that game. It'll be fun to watch. So we're going to talk more about that, obviously, leading up to the games on Friday. And I'm trying to get us a guest, because John Bacon is unavailable this Friday. So we're going to see if we can get us a guest to talk about that coming up on Friday as
pip,
well.
Pip, cheerio.
We've got some ideas. But in the meantime, on the other side of the break, Sean Richland later on in the 9 o'clock hour, Michigan women's golf coach Jan Dowling, as she has an athlete down at the Augusta National, the Augusta Amateur, the event down there at the home of the Masters. And so we will talk to, that is the Masters.
The pageantry, that is the Masters.
So we will have Jan Dowling joining us in the 9 o'clock hour as well. On the side of the break, though, Sean Richland. Richie's going to join us talking some Michigan hockey, Frozen Four and more here on Sports Talk 1050. Sports Talk 1050, WTKA Ann Arbor, and WWWHD2 Ann Arbor, The Ticket.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.